Welcome to The Firing Line with Rick Travis, Legislative Director for the California Rifle and Pistol Association. The Firing Line radio show is brought to you by Turner's Outdoorsmen, CCW Safe, Vortex Optics, Cutting Edge Bullets, and the California Rifle and Pistol Association.
Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
And now, your host, Rick Travis.
Good afternoon, patriots of the Inland Empire and beyond. This is Rick Travis, your host for Firing Line Radio, brought to you by the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Folks, if you haven't joined CRPA, go to crpa.org and sign up. That way you're not leasing your rights in California with the Second Amendment. You're fighting for those rights. For 150 years, we've told you to be safe. We've taught you how to shoot straight. And on this program, we teach you not only how to fight back against a tyrannical government, but we also tell you all the wonderful things that are going on in the community. And today, I have one of my best friends, a fellow colleague, a man who stands in the gap for you, both professionally on his own dime with his own radio show that can be heard throughout California and now Arizona on Gunslinger Radio. I have Jeff Tavern of Gunslinger Auctions. Welcome aboard, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm doing great because you're here. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the elections because, yes, we had the primaries. I'm going to tell you why it should be feel really positive. And then we're going to go into the final three segments about why you should go to gun auctions, why you should take part in this, because it's absolutely one of the most amazing things that I get to partake in, not as often as I'd like to, but when I do, it's always a winner. So, Jeff, we just had the primary elections. We got a lot of people who are being a bit of negative Nancy out there, and I want to spread a little good cheer. So starting off with, you know, neither one of us tend to like Anthony Portantino too well.
No.
Notice how fast he... Gun auction house, FFL extraordinaire said no. And Anthony Portantino got flat out denied going to Congress. Like, we stood in the gap and we stopped him from going to Congress, which that's a huge victory. And I don't know why 2A people aren't running around going, huh, see, you screwed with us. Now where are you going? Nowhere. You're done. But it wasn't just Portantino. We saw Katie Porter get knocked out of the U.S. Senate race. We saw Reggie Jones Sawyer, who's not a friend of ours at all. He's not going to go monkey around in city council in L.A. You know, we go up and down the state and time and time. Melissa Hurtado, who lied to us on Assembly Bill, Assembly Bill 28, the excise tax, denied. She's not going to Congress. And other people ran for office, so she's out of office at the end of the year. We have major players who have messed with our community that we just denied them going anywhere. We took their jobs from them. We did what you and I talked about for years, Jeff. We actually fired some people.
Mm-hmm. And you want to know why? It's because TV's not talking about it.
Right. And that's what we've got to start talking about, folks. This is a time to celebrate. Yep. We actually fired people. That's incredible. And we've got some great candidates that people said they didn't have a snowball's chance of getting across the line, let alone being a threat. Garvey was one of those running for Senate. Looks like right now, I mean, you know, the polls are not finished going, but he has a good chance of at least being the interim senator, which would make him the incumbent for the fall elections in November. But we also have many people up and down the line from school boards all the way up to the state offices that were not going to be there, that not only did they make it into the top two, many of them are in the top one position where we sit this morning. So I think this is an incredible statement on the power that if we can just get people to vote, which, newsflash, we only got about 25% of the population to do that.
Yeah, well. It's much too easy to sit on your couch and do nothing and complain than it is to actually get up and do something. So
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to say to all of you, look, that meant one in four of you out there listening voted, and three in four statistically didn't. So if you're among those three, imagine the power of your vote right now. If you jump into this fight, we have guarantees that we can fire many more politicians, hire many good politicians, and turn this around. So if it doesn't get turned around, you're going to have to look in the mirror, because this is an exciting time. We've got traction. We've got an electorate that is ticked off, does not believe that the people that have been in power could do it. We can break the supermajority. In fact, when looking at the stats, it's not that hard to break the supermajority. If we can get like-minded individuals like those that listen to this show and listen to Gunslinger Radio to literally go, okay, now's our moment, and show up in force, bring the whole family down there and make sure they vote. So what do you think it's going to take, Jeff?
That's a tough one. Like I said, so many people in today's world pay only attention to their cell phones, their computers, and their televisions. And this is why the left has been dominating. You know, our pendulum has been stuck way left for quite some time, and it's finally starting to shake a little bit loose. But, the right needs to get with it and start doing the same thing, trying to take the high ground, trying to be the silent majority ain't working. So it's time to start fighting. And if dirty means that's how you win, then we got to start doing whatever it takes, because I've had enough of this. You know, look how bad they treat us, and we're armed. Just think what it's going to be like when we're not.
I think that's an excellent point. I mean, we are the part of the citizenry that is upholding the Constitution. And there's a lot of negative terms that they keep putting out there to try to disenfranchise many different groups. Now's the time for all of us to come together. Now's the time to say enough is enough. It's we the people, and we the people aren't going to put up with this anymore. I saw that shift start on Tuesday night during the elections. We did a live program. We had a lot more people show up than I anticipated, which was fantastic. We're going to continue to do those. But, yeah, I think this is a time now, too. You got to realize Jeff does a great job, as do many of our FFLs around the state, of pushing this message out from their stores. And Jeff's got a couple different shops that we'll talk about in the next segment. But, you know, it's not just FFLs, folks. This is everybody that goes to the range. This is everybody that goes and talks to what the president of CRPA, Chuck Michelle, always calls 50% of the gun owners are what we call nightstand gun owners. They're people that have a firearm in their nightstand or closet for home defense. They don't go to gun shows. They don't go to competitions. They don't go to a lot of places where the community meets. But they have friends who do. They have friends like you listening to this program who actually, yeah, they know you. And if they don't know this, that's because you're not talking. You need to come out of the Second Amendment closet and start talking to people. Start having that conversation and encouraging them and saying, hey, look, we're winning. Now's the time. This is a point where we put all the players on the field and we push for the victory. So, Jeff, having said that and brought everybody up, and we'll have some people on next week to go further into the politics of California, but I want to keep this show kind of more, a little bit more lighter. So I had, folks, the privilege of meeting Jeff Tavern a few years back. Well, we've been hanging out for a while now, and some things that Jeff is not your normal firearm store owner. You know, there's a lot of people in this business, really good people. They do a really good job at their stores, but Jeff is actually a guy who's walking the entire community walk. And this is what I'm going to say, so not here to embarrass you, Jeff, but Jeff competes in shooting sports. And we'll talk about that. Jeff doesn't just compete in shooting sports locally, doesn't do it just statewide, doesn't do it nationally, has actually competed, I believe, internationally. Is that not true?
Yeah, I just got back from the World Championships Saturday.
And so he gets it, folks. But Jeff also has been on TV on firearms, so he's not scared of that community. He's also done many videos, does a lot of training, educating. His staff's incredible. But one of my favorite things with Jeff is when I go down to his stores, he has things from his auctions that have been turned in that often you will not see anywhere else but in a museum. But in a museum, you're usually 6 feet away from the you know, firearm, looking through thick glass and security and everything else. I've actually got to hold some remarkable pieces of history with Jeff. And I bring this up today in this show because, folks, everybody listening to this, you're not that far away from either one of his stores to go and check it out. You're not that far away from where he has the auctions, where you can actually add some of these things to your collection. But you're missing an opportunity. I mean, at any of his auctions, you're watching hundreds of years of firearms technology and accoutrements and different things that goes with that flying by your eyes in the span of 3 to 4 hours. And I'm always blown away at not just the quality and the quantity, but the length of history that passes by your eyes. It is an amazing thing. That's what we're going to unpack today on the show, talking about those, talking about some pieces. Realize we're not going to get to everything because that would take the rest of the year's shows up. And as much as I love Jeff, there's a lot of other stuff we have to cover. So we'll be back with Jeff here on Firing Line Radio.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one hunting, fishing, and shooting sports retailer since 1971, now has 33 locations across California and one in Tucson, Arizona. Turner's is your one-stop shop for all your shooting sports and fishing tackle needs. We offer a full selection and unmatched prices on firearms, ammunition, gun safes, shooting accessories, archery equipment, and fishing tackle. Visit Turners.com now and sign up for the Turner's Discount Club for free and get our weekly ads and members-only specials sent directly to your inbox. For more info, to sign up for the Turner's Discount Club or to shop online, visit Turners.com. Hi folks, Philip Neyman. If you're a concealed handgun carrier, or have a firearm to defend your home and are forced to use your weapon for self-defense or the protection of a loved one, you'll be glad to have CCW Safe on your side. CCW Safe provides and pays 100% upfront defense funds for high-quality attorneys, expert witnesses, and the investigators you need following a critical incident with no reimbursement. And they do it all for one flat yearly fee starting at $179 a year. CCW Safe has permit and non-permit plans to protect California residents in this state and while traveling across the country. So check out their new Ultimate Plan with no caps on criminal and civil defense, $1 million for bond coverage, a dedicated $1 million for civil liability, and many other benefits. You defend your life. CCW Safe will defend your freedom and financial future. In California, CCW Safe has got you covered. So join now at ccwsafe.com.
AM 590, The Answer.
This portion of The Firing Line is brought to you by Turner's Outdoorsman.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. See this? This is my boomstick!
Welcome back to Firing Line Radio. This is Rick Travis, the Legislative Director for the California Rifle Pistol Association. And I want to tell all of you that if you do not have some type of insurance or backup for when you use your CCW, consider our sponsor, CCW Safe. CCW Safe has incredible packages. That's what I use, and I use it for a couple of reasons. One of those is because CCW Safe covers me not only for my CCW, but also when I'm out hunting, also when I'm out at the range shooting. And it also covers my grandkids when they're over at the house and doing things. So, like, folks, really, there's lots of options out there, but look at CCW Safe because they give back to defending your 2A rights here in California and across the nation. Jeff, welcome back to the radio. And I want to just break out with, so how did you get into the auction business? Because I find it fascinating.
Well, okay, well, what happened is a long, long time ago, because, you know, I've been open a long, long time. I had a gentleman come in with a firearm that was unusual and I was not familiar with it. And it turned out it was a broom handle Mauser, a C96, which, you know, nowadays I'm quite familiar with it, but at the time I was not. Anyway, we put it out in the store and an auction company came in and said, we understand you have a specific firearm and we'd like to see it. So I showed it to them. They were just totally knocked out. And they said, this is a prototype. It's one of three known. So I called the owner, said, hey, these guys would like to say, sell this. They're guaranteeing $7,500. And he said, let's do it. So I released it to them. They sold it for $35,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So what we did was we split commissions. They took 10%. I got 10%. And the owner, who was in his 80s, got 80%. And he was quite happy. And I just thought, you know, I'm in the gun business, but I don't think I'm in the best part of the gun business.
Right.
And so I looked into what it would take to become an auctioneer in California. I went to a place up in, well, I spent a year in up in Bakersfield 1 week. And that's a joke, Rick.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
Anyway, so, and being a musician and, you know, spending a lot of time on stage and in a microphone, getting up and doing it was a piece of cake for me. So they started us off and, you know, they said, I'm bid $1 bidder, now two, now two, now $2 bidder. And everybody was, you know, oh, they couldn't stand hearing themselves on a mic. I just went, what? All right, here we go. $1 bidder, now two and two and $2 bidder, now three and three and $3 bidder, now four and four and $4 bidder, now five. And the guy goes, stop, you can go home. And as soon as I got back, a friend of ours at the shop, his brother had recently passed away with 500 firearms. Every single one of them was engraved and gold inlaid.
Wow.
And everywhere he'd taken it, people were literally, because there were so many and it was so much, they were offering him like 5 cents on the dollar. And I said, let me try and auction these for you. And that was in 2002. And that's how we started. My first two or three auctions were off of that collection. And nowadays we do 750 guns and, you know, it's all computerized. We sell stuff all from literally from South Africa to Alaska. We send stuff to Canada, France, the Netherlands, England, you name it, we send it.
That is so fascinating. I mean, and the fact that you learned to sell cows before you learned to sell guns in Bakersfield was probably helpful, but, yeah, but looking at some of the firearms that you've had and also some of the clients, I mean, you know, you've had some famous people come through that store. And this is why I think it's really neat. You go to Jeff's store. Well, actually, it's not there anymore. The one I first met you at.
Yeah.
But like your old store was in a strip mall. It wasn't fancy. It was nice. It was clean. It was well ran, but it was not like, hey, you just went into like Macy's, you know, where
right.
You expect a certain look. And yet you had a guy that had a heavy breathing issue in a movie that was one of your better clients.
Yeah, he was. I don't want to mention names, but
yeah.
he was one of many. And now that we've got a store down in Orange, you wouldn't believe some of the people that buy from us now. Of course, you know, they do it all with sealed bids and being on the phone and such, but we've got quite a few very well-known folks that buy from us and are starting to sell through us. So, you know,
yeah,
very happy to have them.
And I think that's really, this is the part that I want to tell people about. So I was very blessed. I had a friend who was related to somebody very prominent in the firearms industry who, participated in a hunting way of life. And one of my hunting rifles came from that person's personal collection. Mm-hmm. So and I'm going to hand that down to my oldest son. And so literally two generations of his family will have used that firearm to hunt with. And two or three generations of my family will use that. So it's like not just the history of the firearm, not just the history of you know, what it did or where it's been, but also who owned it, that you pass it on. And I always think of Jefferson's quote, sometimes you take a walk in the woods with your firearm. But when I carry that one, I'm taking a walk in the woods with somebody from firearms history and the family and thinking about who's going to walk in the woods with in the future. And every one of these firearms has a unique story to it. And I think that's got to be incredibly fascinating for you, Jeff, because like you're just filled. What are some of the most unique things that you've had?
Well, a few that come to mind. The one we're most known for was Winchester 1873. You know, they made a movie about it called The Gun That Won the West, Winchester 73 with Jimmy Stewart. We got serial number 6.
Wow.
And yeah, 1 through 5 are gone to history. Nobody knows what happened to them. And they thought 7 was the lowest number, but we dug out number 6. And I mean, it was just an unbelievable find for us. And the person that had it had passed, and his wife was dealing with Alzheimer's. So the executors got together and they brought us a large collection, and that was one of them. And it sold into 6 figures. And what's so cool about number 6 was right away, the owner, who unfortunately, I think it would have gone for even more had the owner not lived in Pennsylvania. He would have been like in Texas or Arizona or somewhere out west. But he wrote Winchester a beautiful letter about what a great firearm it was. And they made that gun all the way into the early 20s. And they used his letter as their advertisement.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really a cool piece of history.
What was the other one?
Oh, well, we had a gun that came in. It was still in its package. It had been sent from Iwo Jima to San Francisco in 1944. I believe it was 44. It had the stars and bars shredded up as packing. It had all the original stuff on it. It was a Japanese Arisaka rifle, and it had 2 bullet holes through it.
Wow.
You talk about right off the battlefield and right home, and sat in the closet for 60-some-odd years. The family brought it into us, and it was just a museum bought it when we put it through auction. It sold for several thousand dollars, and a museum bought it.
That is really cool. I think that's really interesting. So, like, some of the people at those auctions are buying for museums.
Oh, lots. Yeah, we sell to just about every firearms museum in the nation. Like I said, I mean, we're from South Africa to Alaska, so we send stuff everywhere, and you'd be shocked at how many the Cody, which is probably the biggest and most well-known, has bought lots of stuff from us. We had a Parker Brothers AA grade. This is just about their highest grade, 34-inch, 20-gauge double-barrel shotgun that sold, I want to say, $55,000. Family, Pop had passed. Family was, you know, taking stuff out because they were going to sell the house. Found it in a gun rug under a couch. Had no idea. Brought it into us, and I said, oh, boy. I think you're going to be very happy with what happens with this. And yeah, we got $55,000 for it.
That's amazing. Cause I know sometimes when I come in, you'll be like, hey, have you ever seen one of those? And of course, the answer, I think, for the rest of our relationship will be maybe once I'll say yes. 100 times I'd be, nope, never saw that before.
We just got a colossal collection of Japanese World War II firearms that's absolutely beautiful. So come May 19th, better be around.
Yeah, that's going to be cool to go see. I think that's one of the things, folks, I'm going to tell you. Just going down to the store, and we're going to talk about the 2 stores, but just going down to either one of the stores and seeing some of this and seeing the firearms that aren't going to auction but that are out in the front that you can look at, it is an amazing walk through history, and it's stuff that you can add to your own collection, which I would encourage you to do too. We're going to talk more about that on Firing Line Radio.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one hunting, fishing, and shooting sports retailer since 1971, now has 33 locations across California and 1 in Tucson, Arizona. Turner's is your one-stop shop for all your shooting sports and fishing tackle needs. We offer a full selection and unmatched prices on firearms, ammunition, gun safes, shooting accessories, archery equipment, and fishing tackle. Visit Turners.com now and sign up for the Turner's Discount Club for free and get our weekly ads and members-only specials sent directly to your inbox. For more info, to sign up for the Turner's Discount Club or to shop online, visit Turners.com.
AM 590, The Answer.
This portion of the Firing Line is brought to you by CCW Safe and the California Rifle and Pistol Association.
Spartans, lay down your weapons!
Persians, come and get them!
Welcome back to Firing Line Radio. I'm your host, Rick Travis, Legislative Director for the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Today is an amazing day because I have another friend who I often appear on his show like almost every week, unless I'm stuck in the Capitol or sick, which does happen from here time to time. I have Jeff Tavern of Gunslinger Auctions, Gunslinger Radio, and all things Gunslinger. Jeff, I want to really go into, I mean, we're talking about the history of the firearms that you sell through auctions, some of the amazing pieces. But I think a lot of people are like, can I get into this? Is this something like, you know, I think a lot of our community build up like artificial walls to doing this. What are some of the reasons you see people start to go to auctions?
Well, it's a lot of it is for the collectability of the firearms that we get. We just got in a collection that went through our February auction of unbelievable double rifles, including two Holland & Holland 8-bore Paradoxes. What that means is in the 1880s, they didn't have shotgun, you know, how they have rifled slugs now. They didn't have that kind of technology back then. So what they would do is it was a smooth bore, except for the last 2 inches, it was rifled. So you could shoot an 8-bore shell out of it, or you could shoot an 8-gauge shotgun out of it. We had two of those in their original cases with all the accoutrements so you could reload it. And just unbelievable stuff. And we got top dollar for them. So that's one of the reasons.
So let's say somebody decides to do this. Is it wise to buy some of these things as investments? Do they continue to appreciate? Or if you buy a firearm that costs you X thousand dollars, that's where it's going to stay?
Well, no. Firearms keep going up. During the Great Depression, firearms was one of the only businesses that did not suffer. Firearms maintained or still went up. We're seeing that now. I mean, with paper money being printed every 15 seconds, you don't really see a whole bunch of collectability with cash. So it's better to turn your cash into something. And also, the one thing I always tell people is there's no such – gold and silver are precious metals, but there's only one true actual precious metal, and that's lead. Because if you're starving to death and your neighbor has a chicken and you need it and you hold a gold, he's going to laugh at you. Because what's he going to do with it, put it in his teeth? No, but if you hold out a handful of 22 ammo, now you got something.
Right. And what would you say to, you know, the people? Is it ever too young to start, too old to start? I mean, outside of the obvious age limit of too young being that, you know, you can't purchase in California, but what are some of the unique things that you can do?
Well, you know, I raised four boys and I started all my boys very young with 22s, of course, very supervised. And explaining and standing right next to and such, you just can't beat it. What was the other part of the question?
Well, the other part of the question was, so, you know, looking at, I learned to start to build up a collection from a friend of mine who was still is an instructor. And what he would do is he'd purchase so many firearms every year to use in the classroom as instruction pieces. And after a year or so, he'd retire them into a safe that he had. And, you know, he'd buy a safe every couple of years and he kept doing that. And when he got ready to retire, he had several safes worth and then he started to sell them and move them out as part of his hedge for retirement. So I know some people have done it that way. I know some people have put firearms away to help with college expenses. Some people have done it for other reasons. And so that's what I was getting to. What are some of the reasons you see people do this for?
Well, you know, family history, there's just so many reasons. Like you were saying, passed down guns. It's always such a shame when somebody ends up with just a pile of firearms and passes and the family doesn't want them. I mean, that is where we get a lot of our stuff. But just that alone, I mean, to say, you know, I'm going hunting with my great-grandfather's firearm, to me, how much cooler could anything be?
Yeah, and on that, you don't just auction firearms. So some of the community doesn't know too much about me. I have an affinity also for tomahawks and axes, and the reason is because I have a Scottish-Irish background and some Scandinavian background, so obviously that's a tool that's been used for millennia in my family genealogy, but I had several of them carry those at different time periods, and it's written down in family history. And so, like, I was able at one of your auctions to pick up a very nice British hatchet that was from, I think, the mid-1700s from you, which was great, added to my collection. But I think that's something people got to realize. You get some amazing knives and some amazing swords and other things that are literally hundreds of years old that, like, you'd have a hard time finding anywhere.
Absolutely. Sorry, my store's just opening, so it's getting a little loud in here. anyway, May 19th is our next auction. We got in a large collection of bladed weapons from the 1700s and 1800s. These stuff that we got are right off of the prairie. Also included in there is a Chinese hand cannon. Have you ever seen one of these?
No, now I have to come down.
Oh, yeah. It kind of looks like a coffee cup, if you can imagine that. But it's got a fairly large hole in it, and it's got a little tiny hole in the side. And it's made out of brass, and it's very heavy. And you would stuff, some powder in there, and then whatever over the top of it, seal it. And then you got a little punk on the side, and you hold this thing in front of you, and stick the punk in the hole, and kaboom. So, you got to come see
it. Now, do the hands and body parts that held it in battle come with it, or is it just the cannon?
On occasion.
On occasion.
depending on what you load in it, you just never know.
Wow. Folks, this is why I'm saying going down. So where are your stores? So, our listeners know where to go see and meet and do this at.
Sure. Our Orange store is at 1740 West La Vida in the beautiful city of Orange. We're right between Main and the 57 freeway. My Azusa store, which has been my Glendora store forever, but we all know that story. That one has moved to 1141 East Alasta. I'm on the corner of Alasta and Barranca, right next to the Stater Brothers.
Well, and then where do you do your auctions?
Well, we do them in Santa Ana at the Elks Lodge on Elk Way, and I think it's 1751 Elks Way. They've been gracious enough to allow us because, believe it or not, people are very hinky about, anything firearm these days. So they allow us to come in and do it. We can't bring the guns anymore, but they have lots of big screen TVs. So as we go through the auction, you're looking at those.
So let's talk about that. So I'm a person that wants to buy it, but I want to see it in person. So prior to the auction, can I go to the store and look at it?
Yeah, everything that we have for sale, like for May, say, is already out for display. You can pick it up, look at it, play around with it a little bit. Obviously don't load it.
Right.
But everything is out for display for May. We've already got stuff already out for September's auction because May filled up a month and a half ago, and we're almost done with September at this point. So we'll be booking for December here pretty quick.
And if you're a person out there right now that you're seeing on a collection or you have a family member seeing on a collection, Jeff, I mean, you and I've talked about this before, so I know, but to help people out there, you may have a family member who is like, well, I don't feel comfortable trying to put these in my, 72 Super Beetle and driving them down the mountain or out from the desert or wherever to go meet with you. How does that work if a person has a collection? How do they connect?
Well, we can come to you. I've got a Sprinter van and I've got a great big retired U-Haul truck. So depending on the size of your collection, we can get out and pick it up from you. So that's not an issue. We'll come to you and we'll take care of everything. Because as you know, in California, firearm stuff gets a little hinky. A lot of people think, well, I'll just sell them myself. But you can only do that a few times in California without somebody coming and knocking at your door. So best to just give them over to us. And the one thing I really need to stipulate, auction does not mean fire sale.
Everybody always thinks, well, what if my gun only sells for $5? You know, this is not a Depression era fire sale. We have thousands of bidders every auction. So that does not ever happen.
Yeah, I will go. I will chime in on that one. Folks, it does not happen. This is not, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to get a steal. You will get amazing firearms at a very reasonable price, but you're going to pay market value, which means if you're selling, you're going to get market value. And that's an important thing for many of you out there. I cannot stress highly enough that, especially with some of the laws that have been passed in California recently, this for a lot of you that if you're, you know, at a point in life where you need to downsize or you need to do an add-on, whatever your reasoning, doesn't matter. Give Jeff a call, and him and his team are among the most professional people I've dealt with in the 2A community. They will come down. They support the California Rifle Association. They support your 2A rights. Take advantage of it and go and see him. We're going to be back because there's another side to Mr. Tavner.
Hi, folks. Philip Naiman. If you're a concealed handgun carrier or have a firearm to defend your home and are forced to use your weapon for self-defense or the protection of a loved one, you'll be glad to have CCW Safe on your side. CCW Safe provides and pays 100% upfront defense funds for high-quality attorneys, expert witnesses, and the investigators you need following a critical incident with no reimbursement. And they do it all for one flat yearly fee starting at $179 a year. CCW Safe has permit and non-permit plans to protect California residents in this state and while traveling across the country. So check out their new Ultimate Plan with no caps on criminal and civil defense, $1 million for bond coverage, a dedicated $1 million for civil liability, and many other benefits. You defend your life, CCW Safe will defend your freedom and financial future. In California, CCW Safe has got you covered. So join now at ccwsafe.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one hunting, fishing, and shooting sports retailer since 1971, now has 33 locations across California and one in Tucson, Arizona. Turner's is your one-stop shop for all your shooting sports and fishing tackle needs. We offer a full selection and unmatched prices on firearms, ammunition, gun safes, shooting accessories, archery equipment, and fishing tackle. Visit Turners.com now and sign up for the Turner's Discount Club for free and get our weekly ads and members-only specials sent directly to your inbox. For more info, to sign up for the Turner's Discount Club or to shop online, visit Turners.com.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Firing Line Radio. This is your host, Rick Travis. I am the Legislative Director for the California Rifle Pistol Association. Folks, if you want to get involved, you want to make a difference, you want to pass the legacy of our constitutional rights down to the next generation, not only should you join CRPA at CRPA.org, but you should take part and get involved with a chapter. Help build the community of people. Those communities are doing amazing things, from shooting sports to being political activists to helping out with a wide variety of things in their own communities. Folks, you can go to CRPA.org and look up the chapter program and get connected now. With me for this final segment is Jeff Tavner. He is the host and owner of Gunslinger Radio, Gunslinger Auctions. But that's not all we want to talk about with Jeff today. I have had the privilege and sometimes the embarrassment of being able to go shoot with some of the better shooters in the community. You know, nothing like thinking you're fairly good at trap and skeet shooting. You know, normally at the time this happened, I was getting 24s, 23s sometimes, but it's doing really well. And then I went and shot with Kim Rohde. And, you know, she kept shooting 25s. I kept telling myself she's an Olympic champion, should expect that. And then her dad looked at me and said, Kim, when's the last time you missed a round? And she said something like 9 or 10 months ago. And I was like, okay, we're done. Because, like, it wasn't going to go anywhere. So I have the privilege of saying that I had Jeff take me out to teach me about single action shooting, which is SAS. It's an incredible sport. I've been out to cover it. I've been out to watch it. I've seen some amazing people at all ages do it. Jeff's a great teacher, went out. But Jeff, you're not just a great teacher and a great pusher of SAS. You're a champion.
Well, SAS, which is a single action shooting society, it has several, variations on a theme. There's a national championship, a world championship, regional championship, and state championship. Right now, I'm the reigning regional and state. They moved the national championship to Oklahoma, and I just don't have the time. So I've not been doing that. And I just got back from the world championship where, unfortunately, had a few issues, and I ended up fifth in my class. So can't claim it this year, but I have won the world championship and the national. So
why did they move from, because weren't they out at Trails, I want to say it was Trails End in New Mexico.
Well, it was the name of the shoot is End of Trail, like the yeah. Remington statue. And SAS itself went through a whole bunch of changes with new ownership. And, you know, I'm still prodding them to try and they moved it from Nowhere Land, New Mexico to the Ben Avery facility in Phoenix, Arizona, which is a great facility. It's huge. It's beautiful, but it's still out in the middle of nowhere, and I would just love to see it come back to Southern California, because when SAS was at its biggest, it was here.
That was out at Rahagas, wasn't it?
Yeah, out of Rahagas, and you know, it was just we were averaging 1,000 shooters, just about right in there, 900,000 shooters every year, and every year it got bigger. And SAS itself, when I joined, my SAS number is 16,409. And now they're at 120,000, but I think they went from, you know, 2,000 to 80,000 in the 90s. And ever since they've moved it, it's steadily declined. And Southern California is where all the money is. You know, we have more disposable money here than anywhere else. It just makes no sense to not have it here. But anyway.
And let's talk about, because SAS, I think, is one of the shooting sports, and it's one of the reasons I loved having you on today, among many others. It's always good to see you and talk with you and hang out with you. But I don't think people realize this shooting sport, I got to talk to one of the founders, started out in a little canyon of very fancy homes in Orange County.
Yeah.
And just started out with a group of people that loved shooting cowboy, like they were cowboys. And then it got the dress up part of it, moved out to Rahagas. I believe started out with the group called the Cowboys.
Poodle Cowboys is actually what their original name was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then exploded. And when I say exploded, folks, this is literally, I think if you take out Antarctica, every other continent, there are SAS teams and SAS events. This thing is like global.
Yeah. At the match last weekend, we had, was it 13, John? 13 different countries?
That's at the,
or not. Oh, 13 or 14 different countries, from Germany, the Czech Republic, Australia, New Zealand, England, Canada. I mean, we had 13, 14 different countries there. So yeah. And a couple of, non-Americans won their championship division. So.
Yeah, and I think that's so fascinating because a lot of these are places where firearms are not popular or heavily regulated, like in Canada, and yet that's not stopping people. And this is one of the things I wanted to put out. This is something positive. Folks, we have people who are fighting the anti-gunners in their own countries and are coming here to California to participate in exercising those Second Amendment-type rights. And that is such an incredible victory for a lot of us. And that's because people like out there, like Jeff, they don't just shoot. They push shooting. They push these sports. They take people like me that I don't get out to the range much because I spend most of my time fighting for your rights to do so. And that's not a complaint. It's just reality. But it allows us all to become advocates for it. And so while I don't shoot, Jeff knows I'm constantly pushing SAS, but I bring this up for another reason. You know, Jeff, I got to go up to the range. And I know you've been there at SLOSA. And when I first drove up, they, you know, before you go down to where the SAS area is and make that turn to go across the cattle gate at that huge range, there's a couple of the box ranges. And one of the box ranges, I saw the remnants of a cigarette boat and what looked like a fairly good mock-up of a Ferrari. And I was like, what is that? And that's when I got told that the left booth, they have a crew that sounds like the old SAS people that started up. They have a Miami Vice shoot. And the Ferrari is for the people that dress up and do the Magnum PI shoot. And I'm like, well, what do you get, like a dozen people out there? And they're getting quarterly literally 500 to 600 people in their second year showing up and competing in that. And I find this amazing because in a state that wants to have a community that says, oh, we're all but dead, we're becoming highly innovative. And there's a lot of Gen Z that's showing up. And, you know, same idea of like the Western outfits being judged. They're judging, is that the right Hawaiian shirt for Magnum PI? Do you have the right clothes to look like Crockett and Tubbs? I mean, it's just amazing to me how the sport's growing and changing.
Believe it or not, SAS, I believe, is kind of the grandfather of all of these, because I've seen so many come and go. There was like a zoot suit shoot where people would dress up in zoot suits and fedoras and you know, have the semi-auto Thompsons in a 1911. And then, of course, you had to have the you know, the 97 Winchester for a shotgun. I've seen gangster shoots very similar. And there's just about that type of a shoot for every kind of odd interest you want.
Yeah, and I think this is really unique. And I've also seen some things change. SAS, I would also give credit for the mounted high school shooting competitions for getting that going, where, you know, kids are rescuing horses and then taking them out there and using the blanks to be able to shoot balloons. And that's growing even out at Rahaga's. I watch them out there practice, and that's growing. And I really want all of you to realize we have some amazing things, because when sheriffs called me up to say they were starting that mounted shooting thing up in what they call the state of Jefferson, north of Sacramento, I was like, will we ever get that down in SoCal? Only took 2 years, and now we have it down here in SoCal. So I see a lot of growth, and I think that's a positive.
I do too. And being a horse owner myself, and not my cup of tea, because my horses are not overly happy about the loud noise. But hey, look at that. One of my guys just showed up late again. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, that just went out on the radio, by the way. I tried it once. You'd be shocked at how some horses really don't care for gunfire.
Yeah, and I think
mine being one of them.
And I think people don't see there's a lot of skill sets. I mean, I actually learned to shoot coyotes from the back of a horse. And the first time I tried to shoot a coyote when I wasn't compensating for moving around on a horse, it was a bit of a challenge because I was trained one way and you have to learn. And so all these things, folks, there is never a reason to get tired of shooting sports. There are so many different challenges that are safe, that are fun, that are growing, and they're growing in a state that has done everything it could to kill the whole culture of firearms ownership. Instead, that pressure is leading to innovations and leading to extremely wonderful times. And folks, one of the reasons I have Jeff on today is he is a resource for all of you. This man knows so much. And so if you have a chance, go visit him at one of his stores. Jeff, do one more shout out to where your stores are located.
Sure. The auction house is at 1740 West Alasta, and the gun shop itself, where the gun shop my son runs that, and it's a full-on, full-service gun store where we sell everything. This place here in Orange is mostly just for auctions, but up there it's 1141 East Alasta in the city of Azusa.
And folks, as we say every week, be safe, shoot straight, and fight back for your rights with Firing Line Radio and the California Rifle and Pistol Association.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
The Firing Line Radio Show has been brought to you by Turner's Outdoorsman, CCW Safe, Cutting Edge Bullets, Vortex Optics, Vortex, the Force of Optics, and by the California Rifle and Pistol Association.
Hi folks, Philip Naiman. If you're a concealed handgun carrier or have a firearm to defend your home and are forced to use your weapon for self-defense or the protection of a loved one, you'll be glad to have CCW Safe on your side. CCW Safe provides and pays 100% upfront defense funds for high-quality attorneys, expert witnesses, and the investigators you need following a critical incident with no reimbursement. And they do it all for one flat yearly fee starting at $179 a year. CCW Safe has permit and non-permit plans to protect California residents in this state and while traveling across the country. So check out their new Ultimate Plan with no caps on criminal and civil defense, $1 million for bond coverage, a dedicated $1 million for civil liability, and many other benefits. You defend your life. CCW Safe will defend your freedom and financial future. In California, CCW Safe has got you covered. So join now at ccwsafe.com.
AM 590, The Answer.